This episode is sponsored in part by Swim. Okay, here's a depressing stat. 70% of shoppers who want your products never actually buy them. They browse, they consider, then they forget. That's revenue walking out the door. Swim Wishlist Plus turns browsers into buyers. Customers save products they want, get notified when prices drop or items restock. You can also engage them in personalized fashion through your marketing or sales outreach. It's like having a personal shopper reminding them to come back and buy from you instead of your competitors. And 45,000 stores already use it, and it only takes 5 minutes to install. You can try it free today for 14 days. Go to getswim.com/Kurt. That's swimwithay.com/Kurt. Turn those maybe laters into sales today. Getswim.com. Go ahead and speak on that microphone for me.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. Hello, sir.
That's
hello.
Audio. We have sound.
There's audio? Oh, good. We've added audio?
We've added audio to this podcast.
All right. Welcome to the Paulcast. I'm your host, Paul Rita. Joining me this week is Kurt. How do you say your name?
Most people say Elster. I believe it's Elster.
Oh, okay. Kurt Elster. And he is some kind of internet guru? Do you make web pages? How much does a site cost per page?
Well, I usually sell them by the pound.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's typical website's about 4 to 5 pounds.
Oh, okay. 4 to 5 pounds. Mm, yeah. Okay. British money?
Yeah. And then if it's 4 to 5 pounds, it's $450 an hour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, that's what it costs to have a tour guide at Disney World. It's $450 an hour. I learned yesterday. Yeah. Isn't that wild? Being married to a Disney blogger, these are things you learn.
I went to Disney World when I was like 12. And, you know, because I'm an American and have been brainwashed, I do like the idea of taking my kids there, but it's like everything I'm hearing now is like, this is too involved. Like, I just want to go and walk around and pay money and then, you know.
No, that's what the guide's for.
No.
$450 an hour, you skip the line.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And he'll get you some snacks.
It's just, yeah, it just feels like endless upcharges and weird bonus fees.
Okay, that part's true.
Okay, yeah. See, I don't like that.
So, what are we actually discussing today?
Oh, I don't know. I just walk in and then I sit down and then you just start talking and I react to it.
We're going to do a tips episode where I've got four issues that have come up, you know, in the last like 60 days and then what you do about it, you know, based on like real world things we're seeing.
Mm.
And I would love to. So rarely do I get to talk about myself on this show.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we need more of.
Yeah, we don't hear anything about you every week. Ugh.
And so I would love to share, you know, just some updates about what we're working on. But I left the notes in the printer.
Okay. 12 years of this, folks. This is really helpful. Bots, why? Great. So glad I have this. Kurt, bots, why?
Well, there's a lot of bot traffic, isn't there? This is if you spend any time in any like Shopify forum, watering hole, whatever, the topic of bots is going to come up. And I think this is a thing that Shopify is actively fighting. That's what I suspect.
I overheard you on a call yesterday. You cited an insane stat that blew my mind that you had personally had collected and seen. This wasn't reported to you.
Oh, so Microsoft Clarity now, the heat mapping software, and they have a Shopify app, you just install it, it's great. It will tell you, like, oh, here's our recording sessions, and here are the bots we excluded. And the site I looked at, great site, big site, 800 bots excluded, 80 sessions recorded.
So 10x as many bots as real people.
That's what it was claiming. Insane. Like, we've seen on a lot of stores, it's like, it looks like traffic's going up and traffic from search engines is going up, but then conversions doesn't. Yeah, because they're not real people.
Well, conversions should go down.
Or conversions go down, traffic, organic traffic goes up. It's bizarre. And so then it tanks your conversion rate. I think this is why. I think it's a lot of bot traffic. But then, like, what is the bot traffic? What are these bots doing?
Mm-hmm.
And
And?
Well, I got another thing that if you hang out on Shopify forums a lot, you'll notice. Someone will say, hey, I keep getting fraudulent orders. And they're always to the same address from the same person with the same email with different credit card numbers that if you let the order go through, eventually get disputed. And it's always for whatever the cheapest item is in the store. Now, I've lost track of the number of instances of this in our client stores, in forum reports, in our own Facebook group, someone posted about it, and even in my wife's store where people started buying a $4 I Heart Tech Nasty sticker, but it always went to the same address. And so the theory I've seen floated online is there's a credit card breach that has occurred somewhere, not having to do with Shopify, but then bad actors who have acquired those credit card numbers are using scripts, bots, to find Shopify stores with inexpensive items that aren't going to get flagged as a fraudulent purchase, and then place the order to warm up and test the credit cards. And then you assume the person then goes with the credit cards, gets a report, you know, their script.
If the order goes through, they know that credit card's still good and working.
And then now they can charge a slightly more expensive item.
Then they go buy a TV.
Yes. Yeah. And so what do you do about that?
I could just say right off the bat, from our experiences, you should probably have a secret minimum order threshold on your store.
Yeah, why not?
Because a lot of times we have stores that sell shipping insurance or has free items on the store.
Often what the bot buys.
Yeah, that become free gift with purchase
items. It's like an order for shipping insurance.
Yeah, so right away, there's like the real product on your store. Like the cheapest real product on your store that you would sell that's in a collection listing is, you know, $40 or whatever it is. You should have a minimum order of $39, because then obviously the real orders will go through, but anything that's less than that, that's your $4 shipping insurance or your free pin that you include on every order or whatever,
yeah,
those will immediately get stopped. So like, and that'll stop a lot of this traffic as well.
So if you want to implement that, free app from Shopify checkout blocks, it can create checkout rules, like validations. And so one of the ones I did on a store just to stop bad actors, I knew there should never be a free order that goes through. The only time a free order is going to go through is it's a customer service issue, in which case, like, we could process that manually separately. So I just set a minimum of $1. Miraculously, these like fraudulent orders stopped coming in when I did that. Or if you know, yeah, in the credit card test orders, it's all like they're not even trying. You know, there's the name, the email, and the shipping address, which isn't real, but it was like it's just some person's house who suddenly gets a lot of weird merchandise.
Score.
Yeah. They're like, what is happening? Can you imagine being that person? Like, what is going on here? You could set up rules to stop it. And so I go twofold.
First you got to see it happening. You're like, that's weird.
Yeah.
And then it'll happen again and it's the same email. And then you know, okay, that any order with that email, I got to block it.
Yeah, we had a client store where they're like, hey, this guy's placed 10 orders and they're all for shipping insurance. Like, so could you just make it stop? Because it becomes an annoyance. So the app Fraud Control from Shopify will like give you some analytics about this, but then it lets you make checkout rules pretty easily. And so I just made one that's like, block this guy's email address. If it matches the shipping address, just the checkout won't go through. But all right, if by some miracle he manages to get through it, that system fails, using Shopify Flow, which is also free on most plans now, I use that to, they have a template library, and one of them is cancel and restock orders based off email address. And so even if that order goes through, cancel it, restock it, refund it, and just move on. And so like, let them waste their time trying to order, they'll just immediately move on.
But there's no way to preemptively, because I mean, it's a legit credit card, or at least was at one time.
Yeah, until it got stolen.
Yeah, so there's no way to preemptively protect yourself from this.
Well, so
other than that minimum order value thing, which should clear up a lot of fakes, I think. Just in general, you should do that. Yeah.
Well, there's risk analysis that Shopify does for you automatically, and it's good. It'll come back with like low, medium, high risk. And there's a Shopify Flow template you could set up where it's like, all right, if it's high risk, flag that order and hold it. And the chances are you probably just want to cancel it. Or, you know, at the very least, try to verify it. Generally, if it's high risk, there's usually a reason. And then medium, you know, you kind of decide based on average order value, like, do you want to take that risk or not? And there's just like the tools built into Shopify that'll do it. And those work pretty well. The problem with, you know, these orders that like the, where they're testing these credit cards, they're for such low values. It never gets flagged. They never show up as high risk.
Yeah. You know, what are you going to be out? $3? We're not going to. Yeah. Obviously a $3,000 order invites more scrutiny than a $3 order.
Yeah.
Even from Shopify's automated systems.
And so, you know, I don't know how that risk analysis tool works from Shopify, but I do know those inexpensive. Yeah. If I knew, it's like, okay, now I could start trying to game it, right? Yeah. They need to play that close to their chest. Those inexpensive items, though, for whatever reason, I've never seen, they don't get flagged. They just show up as, you know, low risk. And, you know, and it's like a $5 or less order. Of course, yeah, you're right. It is low risk. Yeah. One of the ways you could potentially stop it, but then, you know, at the risk of annoying regular customers, is force account, require accounts, and then turn on CAPTCHA for account creation. And in Shopify, again, these tools are there. Online, it's in online store preferences. You could turn on CAPTCHA for account creation and forms, so you're not getting as much spam. But even then, you know, stuff still happens.
Now, for me, the bigger, you know, our clients a lot of times are like, oh, my conversion rate's down. Like, they're really worried about their analytics. And they're always trying to read the tea leaves on the analytics. They're taking samples of like 72 hours. And it's like, oh, don't do that. Come on. But the bots are screwing up all the traffic numbers, right?
Yes.
Is that, yes, they are. We've confirmed that.
It's my belief that they are.
Okay.
The other thing you can do, like if you start comparing Google Analytics versus Shopify Analytics versus, you know, Microsoft Clarity, they're all going to filter bots differently. And so you're going to see different numbers across all of them. And it's them trying to get the bots out. What I do in Shopify Analytics, just to get a cleaner number, I'll do like, you know, all our stores are all or majority US. And so I go, okay, filter by country, US. And then I also filter by device type because the bots don't necessarily report it. And so I'll just be like, device type is tablet, mobile, desktop. And then, so then by combining those two filters, device type and country, I just get a lot of noise. A lot of noise goes away. It's like, yeah, I know there's bots in there, but at least I've improved my signal to noise ratio here. You know,
okay.
And I really don't particularly use Google Analytics. I try to do everything with Shopify Analytics. So the same approach should work in GA. But yeah, so it's like bots are a problem in that, and by bots we mean there's like people writing automation scripts. And AI can do it for, I can tell an AI to write the script for me. And as long as I don't reveal my bad intent, it's just going to do it. And so that's like, I think that's what we're seeing is previously, you know, script kids had to buy scripts from Black Hat forums. Well, now I could just have the AI write it for me. And then there's also like semi-legitimate bots out there.
Well, I mean, you know, the Google crawler to crawl your store, that is a bot.
Yes.
Like, you know, all the search engines, those are real bots. Obviously,
so we don't want to block all bots. You know, the search engines, we want those bots. The AI bots, we probably want them too. If we want AI search queries to recommend our store and products. So it's like, okay, we can't just ban bots.
We heard something today. One of our longtime clients got, was it five purchases or five hits?
Five orders. Where the UTM source, so the like where it came from, was listed as ChatGPT. And so we know that Shopify and ChatGPT have an integration where ChatGPT can search through the Shopify catalog, like in its entirety. I believe you're opted into this by default. And so I found instances, and this was the first store I checked, where I said, all right, show me orders from the last 90 days. And show me where source is Medium ChatGPT. I think that was how it was phrased. And sure enough, there were at least five orders where it had done it. And so, you know, I don't know what the query was. I don't know anything else about it. But the assumption is like they had asked for some recommendation and the thing went out and found it for them and was like, here's the link. And they bought it. Which, okay, cool. I like seeing this thing actually generate revenue for someone for once.
Yeah, new ways of getting sales.
Oh, so this bot thing, there's a feature that popped up in Shopify in the last 12 months that was add to cart rate limits. It's on by default too.
Add to cart rate limits.
Yes.
So it you can only add things to cart at a certain speed.
All right, so it's not a rate limit. It's a max limit that you just set globally. So let's say your store typically has, you know, every variant SKU has 100 items in stock. Shopify will then go, hey, let's just set a max of 50. No one can ever add more than 50 of one SKU to their cart. And they enabled this, and then they turned it on by default. Why do you do this?
I'm guessing so people don't add every single, don't keep adding it to cart until it doesn't let you do it anymore. Because if you track inventory.
Which then tells you what?
Which that tells you how many they have.
It tells you exactly what the inventory is.
Because if you track inventory and you have 97 of something, if someone has 97 in their cart and then tries to add a 98th, Shopify will stop them.
Yep.
So then they know you only have 97 of that.
Yes. And so then in theory, if you track that over time, I can also figure out what your sales numbers are. And so there's these third-party analytics tools that were acting.
That once again are bots. There's no human sitting there being like, all right, 97, yeah. Write that down. I'll be back in a month to check to see what it's at this
They're
time.
Bots. And so they go out, they log all that. And then I assume it's like a service and they're going to resell that information to you as like a competitor analysis tool. Here's a word from our sponsor, Zipify. You know why they call it Black Friday? It's when businesses finally dig out of the red and turn real profit. Want to squeeze every penny from your Black Friday sale? One click upsell is the easiest money you'll make all season. OCU automatically increases average order value by up to 30% with AI-powered upsells at every step of your customer journey. Plus, there's a new tool built right in, Zipify Post Profit. Post Profit monetizes your thank you page with brand-safe ads from partners like Hulu, GoDaddy, and Disney+. Doesn't cost you anything. Just switch it on and get paid pure profit for every view automatically. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Christmas. Earn up to 30% more from every order all year long. Don't leave money on the table this holiday season. Go to Zipify.com/Kurt for your 30-day free trial. That's Zipify.com/KURT. There's a lot of info you could get. Now, there's like nothing really nefarious you could do with it, but if you're just curious or you're troubleshooting, that you can get a Shopify store to give you if you know. Like if you just go to the store, go to slash.
But it won't give you the inventory.
It's not going to spit out the inventory.
No, so that's the only way to figure it out from the outside.
And so we know like Shopify 100% notices these things and then actively comes up with like feature solutions to mitigate the issue. But so I think my point is like, yes, bots are a problem. Yes, this is annoying. Also, I don't really think there's anything practical you could do about it. And I would think that if we just wait, Shopify will solve this for us.
Well, it sounds like they did have a solution, which is no one can add more than 20 at
once
to the cart.
Well, for that one specifically, like, great, you guys identified the problem, rolled out the solution, and our lives were better for it as Shopify users. But as far as like the, jacking up your analytics, I know there are tools out there that will help with this, that will try and filter bots. My experience with them, not naming anyone in particular, is just you get false positives. They're 100% for it to be effective against bots. It's going to throw out people too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my experience with that one. So if you think you're going crazy with bot traffic, you're not alone, is my point. We got these darn fraudsters. Just did self-fraud control. Take care of this. And it's a game of whack-a-mole as you go through it. So we have apps.
Oh, we're doing the apps now? What about Shopify Launch Checklist?
Oh, you want to talk about, Launch Checklist is an app.
This is more, okay. There's a new free app called Shopify Launch Checklist.
Yes.
And it just launched. It's
last
new
week.
Last yeah. week. And it's free, so you can't complain about it.
Well, I mean, if you're going to complain about it, they'll give you a refund, 100% refund of your $0. Yeah.
And it looked to me to be just literally a checklist of like stuff that you need to check before you launch your store.
It is, yeah. So let's say you're.
It does what it says on the tin. It's a launch checklist.
You're migrating from another platform, which we're working through two migrations right now, an aftermarket automotive company who does Subarus. Ooh, love Subarus. And a tactical parts site. And one's coming from WordPress, the other one's coming from Craft Commerce. And so in both those stores, I installed this app, Launch Checklist, and then it runs a report. And what's funny is like AI powered, but really it's like here is a a sane checklist of everything you should check. And then it's nice, it's semi-automated, where because it's an app plugged in, there's a lot of stuff it could check on its own and just be like, yeah, you did that. And there's a lot of stuff it can't, and it just pops back as manual review. Or like, you know, the store I tried it in first had 29 products and 5 of them were listed as draft, which was intentional, but it doesn't know that. And so it's like, oh, you got to manually review your product catalog. It's not ready. It was too ready. But no, I ended up using that, and it did one of those stores, one of the checklist items was like, make sure you style your 404 page. And I almost skipped it because it seems silly. And another one was like, check your fave icon, which people forget that all the time. So I checked, sure enough, our fave icons, they're excellent. I didn't miss that. But the 404 page, oh, there was filler content on there. We would have missed it. Yeah, naughty.
I don't think that's that big a deal.
Naughty. Naughty boys.
I bet the only thing at this point that hits 404 pages
is are the bots.
Yeah.
Is me when I'm doing like SEO crawls on websites. Which they're, because you know, Shopify's got to fight these bots and these crawlers, this year my SEO crawling tools all quit working.
Yeah, because they're bots.
Because it's a bot. And I would get like a 429 error, meaning like, you got banned for doing too much, buddy. I'm like, okay. And so I couldn't use this tool. Or if I could, I had run it so slowly, it would take like overnight. They just added a feature where you can, this is like only relevant to me and the SEO nerds, you could validate your scrape tool on a per store basis to get around the bot blocking that's occurring. The heck were we talking? Oh yeah, launch checklist. Now, if you're like, if you have a store that you're in, going to launch, have not launched yet, there is no risk or reason not to install Shopify launch checklist.
It's a good last minute rundown because, you know, there's a lot of moving parts and you're tracking a lot of things. I mean, this is not a migration to Shopify. This is just a new theme for someone, for a company, and they just keep popping up every day with an email with 5 more things that they thought about. And it's kind of like, oh yeah, we do have to do that. Like, because they are on an old theme and aren't that deep into Shopify. And you know, we're too deep in the weeds and we're used to kind of a base level of Shopify knowledge and experience. So the fact that they're like, well, what about this? And we're like, well, didn't you do that already? Oh, I guess you didn't. I assumed you did.
Yeah,
okay. That's another thing we got to do, guys.
You know, I'm grateful for a fresh set of eyes in the form of a launch checklist. So helpful tool there. And again, you know, included as part of the Shopify plan, it's free. I love those first party apps. Install them. You know, they do what they say on the tin, and that's that. On the topic of apps, we've got this app, Crowdfunder, that adds like a Kickstarter style widget. You're very familiar with this.
I've never heard of this.
No. Yeah.
What?
You're my audience surrogate.
That's not possible. How could you even do that?
Liquid in JavaScript is the answer.
Man, if a guy wrote that where you could have a Kickstarter like Crowdfunder widget on your Shopify store, a guy that figured that out, he'd be a genius. He'd be one of the smartest people you've ever met in your life.
If it's not obvious, he was the one who came up with the concept. But in the Shopify app store, there's that badge built for Shopify. And last I read on Twitter today, I don't know if this is an official number, but 900 apps have that. Out of the like 10,000 or so, that's not exact number either. I'm ballparking this. 10,000 apps get that built for Shopify designation. And when I'm looking for an app in the Shopify App Store, I now also look for that built for Shopify badge first. Because for me, it means like, oh, someone from Shopify vetted that this thing is not going to be a bunch of annoying nonsense. Well, like because they make sure it fits in that interface.
Well, and even just that it's still supported. Like, you know, there's someone here it's not a zombie app that's just collecting your money still because you need to reapply. Shopify rechecks that.
Yeah, we did the annual review.
We have to re-up every year, I think, to get billed for Shopify status.
I mean, the review we just went through was referred to as our annual review. Yeah. So I'm suspecting that this is now something every 12 months. And we ended up with quite a few change requests from them.
It's very annoying. It's extremely annoying. But I can't deny that in the end, the app is better for it.
Both things
still,
are true.
It is annoying.
Yeah, both things are true. Someone just drops it in your inbox and they're like, guess what? Here's the new work you're doing on your app. You got 60 days. Have fun. Okay. But then, you know, when you're done with it, they're very reasonable about it. When you're done with it, then, you know, the app works better. And for us, it was like they identified a couple bugs we didn't know we had. No one told us. And so great. Those are gone now. And then everything else is just about like keeping it unified to that Shopify admin experience, where when the person drops into it first time, it's just a lot more obvious how it works because everything's where you expect.
The contextual save bar, all the various
things. The CSB?
Things. Yeah.
We had to really fight with that thing.
Yeah, that was fun.
The contextual save bar.
And we're also implementing the contextual save bar in our new app.
We're doing another app. Yeah, promo party. Free gift with purchase. My favorite kind of promo.
Yes. And we are entering beta testing with promo party right now. I think it was on once. We're done poking at it internally because our eyes are just glazed over because we've seen it too many times.
Yes.
So we're just like, yeah, that works. That's fine. And we need new eyes. We need new eyes that are not jaded by this app. So if you would like to beta test our app, and it might not work, but you could try it and tell us if it works or not, you should contact us.
Yeah, just go ahead. Reply to my newsletter if you get it, or DM me on LinkedIn or Twitter. Happy to help.
And so what it is you can do a free gift with purchase promotion on your store. It could be triggered by a product. It could be triggered by a certain cart value. You know, you just set it up. If someone has $100 in their cart, this product automatically gets added to their cart for free.
Yeah.
And it could be a variant. It could be one specific product. If they buy a shirt, they get a free pair of pants. You know, however you want to set that up, you could have multiple ones running at the same time. All it is a methodology for you to automatically add discounted products to people's carts. And it'll do the discount. It'll automatically add it. It'll all set it up for you. All you got to do is promote it.
I've run so many of these promos and have so much experience in the ins and outs.
They kill.
They're great. But I also know where they can go wrong. And so I really went through and tried to idiot-proof this thing. Whereas, like, I am the biggest idiot here. How many times have I screwed this up and in what ways? And now let's, like, try and check for those conditions, flag it, you know, make it as obvious as possible. But I also run complex ones where I might have, like, 10 different promos going to maintain, you know, one larger promo. And so we added, you know, made sure that like multiple campaigns are easy to manage and you could duplicate campaigns to edit them. So pretty proud of, you know, this very utilitarian promo tool that's going to do one thing really well. And shout out to Carl Meisterheim from Liquid Weekly and SDA, the Shop for Developer Alliance.
Yeah, he's our partner on this.
And he's been doing the development. So if anything doesn't work, it wasn't us.
It's Carl's fault,
yeah.
Actually.
Carl?
Yeah, we're just the guys that sell it to people. Carl is the one that's messed it up.
Oh, God, Carl. No. Carl's been great.
But yeah, think about it. You said it, say, hey, if you spend $50, we'll give you a free enamel pin. That enamel pin costs you $1. And if someone's paying $40, they're going to find a way to spend an extra $10 to get that free pin. And
yes.
Now they've given you an extra $10 for a $1 pin.
Well, everyone knows, like, if I run a promo or sale, I will have more sales during that period. But if I'm always discounting everything, then people learn to wait for the sales. And so I think free gift with purchase is the ultimate compromise. You still get to you're running a promotion, you know, the person is getting that win, that, like, the fun of I got a discount, a free thing, but then you're not devaluing your catalog because it's the gift is the thing that was made free. And ideally, the free gift is only ever available as a free gift. It's not like part of your general merchandise, but you could do it that way too. And you could set
the cost of the pin to be $100 so bots don't buy it, and then the app will automatically discount it to zero when people fulfill your requirements.
Yeah, definitely. That's where people go wrong. They make their free gift, they price it at zero, and then the bot finds it and just starts buying it.
Not the even just people like
also,
people,
and people do it too.
Yeah.
That was on the Lego store, hey guys, come on, get on Shopify already.
Yeah, the Lego store is a little annoying to traverse. They have like too many collections.
Yeah. The Lego, I get that's a difficult catalog.
It is.
I think they could do better.
Oh, dude, they got the Star Trek license.
They got the Star Trek license. They just get the Death Star coming out.
I need Lego. I know you listen to this, Lego. everyone in the Netherlands, I think they're in the Netherlands.
Denmark, maybe?
Maybe. I need like a 4,000 to 5,000 piece Deep Space Nine. You know, I'm going to need some runabouts docked at the docking bays. I'm going to need, maybe you can like pull off like a little piece of the top and like ops is in there. And it, you know, everyone's there. I need a minifig. I need a Chief O'Brien minifig. I need everyone. That's what I need. I'm pretty sure they're doing a giant Enterprise D is their coming out party.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense.
Which you need That'd to buy for your Trekkie wife.
You know, we're both big next gen fans. Yeah. Captain Picard is my starship captain. I brought up Lego because they always run free gift with purchase and they make it, always an exclusive Lego set. And so I was just on there last week looking at this and it was like you had to hit some purchase threshold and then they would give you a Sega Genesis controller. It was really like Lego set was the current.
It was the classic Sega Genesis controller.
Yeah, that
the three
like dog bone looking controller.
And on the back of it is a little vignette that's like a screenshot from Sonic.
Oh.
It was really cool that like you built. It was very abstract, but you could obviously tell it was like a little Sonic.
That's cool. Yeah. And so it's like, oh, you want that? Okay, well now your order needs to hit the minimum threshold.
I think it was $150.
That sounds about right. Yeah, it's usually.
Which you know,
like
Lego, you can hit that pretty easy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to know how much money has been spent on Legos in my household between three kids and my wife, who just did the last one she built was the Home Alone house, but she does the LEDs now. Yeah. Oh.
At Christmas time, you guys wheel out a fully lit up, set up Home Alone house, and it looks sick.
Yeah, yeah, the Home Alone house with the LEDs. That's your next level Lego dork once you start putting the LEDs in it. Ever had a customer cancel an order because they were shopping while high or because they broke up with their significant other? Those are real reasons customers could cancel, and they're a real headache for both you and your customers. Why should they have to email support to change, cancel, or update an order? Enter Cleverific. With Cleverific, your customers can edit their orders themselves through a self-service portal. That means fewer support tickets, faster shipping, and fewer returns. Everybody wins. Peter Manning, New York, cut their order support by 99% with Cleverific. Now it's your turn. Listeners of the Unofficial Shopify podcast get 50% off the Pro Plan. Just $49 a month. Go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use promo code KURT50 at checkout. It's less hassle, happier customers with Cleverific. Well, all right, I want to leave us with one last tip for folks. One of our retainer clients working with an SEO agency, and the SEO agency's idea for like their first round, they were doing like catalog cleanup, but they said, we're going to try and get exact match keyword phrases to the site by adding a bunch of collections based off product attributes. And then I'm on the email chain, so I'm going through this stuff because I'm curious. There's 150 collections they're adding to a store that had like 1,000 kit products in it, maybe. And it'd be, let's say it's an apparel store. There'd be a collection that's like men's shorts, size, waist 36. And then another collection, men's shorts, waist 38. And then like men's polos, color red, size large. And so you can... with the way Shopify filtering and collections work now and smart collections, you can make really granular dynamic collections in that store and then try and target these long tail exact match keyword phrases that, that in theory that could be beneficial.
I want to see if that works because all I feel like you're doing is making your Shopify store really messy.
But we're not necessarily linking to those in the menus.
I understand that, but I just think on the back end, and yes. Like I could see those getting screwed up really easily.
Well, that's why I want them to definitely be automatic, not manual. But yes, there's a little bit of disaster potential here.
Oh, always a good sign when you admit that.
No, I think the only risk would be crawl budget. Like you make so much stuff, you add so much stuff to the site. That Google just goes, look, we're gonna index 20% of this right now, and then the next time we index your site, we'll get the other.
Can't you get dinged if you have like too many pages of just being like, I don't
of
think
duplicate
this,
content
of just like I don't think this site is real. Like it's just all like this site is literally spam.
It could be considered low quality content. It could be considered duplicate content. I was thinking it's. You could get around the duplicate content thing fairly easily because the products in the catalog in each collection probably change materially, I hope. And then...
No, they wouldn't. I mean, if you have like...
If it's like men's shorts size 36...
Six, yeah, you have short... You have, say you sell 10 pairs of shorts.
You're right. Those 10 collections would be...
Would be... All, and the 10 pairs of shorts, and they each come in five sizes. Well, we've now made five bonus collections that all have the exact same identical content.
And then between all them,
they have, the only difference between these identical collections is their title.
We'd have to change title and then generate a unique collection description. Yeah.
In size 30. Yeah.
Our best shorts
in size 38. Great.
In the collection description, ideally, then you like link to the other collections to add internal links.
Gross.
Yeah. That's how you would have to do this. But I mean, this is a work in progress. We'll see what it does. But then on another store I was working on, I thought this was interesting. Different SEO company, different store, big catalog of similar products. And their focus was on crawl budget. I've never done this. They told me to no index, meaning do not allow Google to see this, the collection/all page. Collection/all dumps out all of your products.
Yeah.
And then it's also paginated.
But I was going to say it's paginated, though, so it's not actually all of them.
And so that's like, all right, we're trying to optimize for crawl budget. We don't necessarily want this very generic page getting indexed. So I don't know. I'm getting increasingly...
I was like, this is conflicting. These are conflicting recommendations.
Yeah, you know, they're different stores with different approaches and different catalogs. I think I think both approaches are correct for their given stores. But yeah, I'm definitely interested in technical SEO is a thing I enjoy. And I've been fascinated by watching, you know, these various SEO companies approach it differently. Because everybody's guessing, right? They're just like kind of theories you try.
They should just sell you a nerve tonic, these SEO companies. Like, it helps your humors.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's all just patent medicine.
Puts a pep in your step.
Yeah, it's all just patent medicine from these guys.
Is there anything that'll put the color back in my beard? So it's been busy around here. What have you been working on, big guy?
Oh, well, a lot of things. Well, mostly whatever comes over the transom from our retainer clients and longtime clients of ours. I sweep up the stuff. Tom's been doing a lot of our big builds.
Designer developer Tom.
Yeah, because, you know, I had a baby. It was a junior situation. In July, Danny DeVito delivered it. And so I've kind of been in and out for the past 2 months, but now I'm back, baby.
Yeah, welcome back.
And I'm ready to rock. So I'm just excited. I'm mainly excited for Jomboy, where if you are interested in baseball, you know about Jomboy, the YouTube baseball content podcast network. We are doing their merch store. They're getting all set up. They got the license from Major League Baseball.
Is that official?
That's official. I think they published that. So I think I'll say that. I will check that before.
Yeah. Let's make sure we don't share anything proprietary.
Yeah. And so the Jomboy gear will now have official Major League teams on it instead of like, hey, what are you? We're the Bronx Bombers. That's not copyrighted. And so we built a whole new store for them and it's got multiple skins. Put together an entire Metafield system because I'm the only person that works at EtherCycle that knows how sports works. And
I thought you were going to say Metafields. I forgot how Metafields work. No, sport, correct.
I was just like, hey, how about we tag each product with what team is on it and what players are on it? So then you could create systems for like get all the Aaron Judge stuff in one thing. Before they had crazy tags that didn't make any sense. Everything had 10 tags that were all different.
Well,
depending on what team it was.
You get the stores that predate, you know, Metafields, and like Metafields as they are now, tags were your catch-all, and, you know, undoing that is always fun. Satisfying when you get it done.
Well, it was just the thing where it's like, clearly that was like, they had everyone just kind of picking up the slack when they could, so everyone had different nomenclatures for what they were tagging the stuff with, so none of it made sense.
Yeah, well, what's cool, Metafields, you can make... Like, if you do a list, you could say it has to be, people have to pick things from this list.
Yeah.
And so then you're able to standardize your catalog versus tags. It's like, all right, have fun.
Yeah. It's like, oh, is it NYY? Is it new space, York space, Yankees? Is it New York Yankees? One word. Is it just Yankees? Is it new _
And then you're not
York's
sure.
_ Yankees.
So the solution is add all of them.
Yeah. And that's what they did.
Yeah. No, I've seen this many times.
So yeah, I'm very excited to get that site launched. And
that's a cool site. I'm excited about that one.
It's like the information, and I'm the only person here that touched it. So none of you, no one else may touch it. Only
no
I may touch
touchy,
it.
Touchy.
No touchy. You no touchy, Tom no touchy. Only I may touchy.
You know, Tom designed it. He did a very good job.
He did. That's true. I'm excited for a information architecture that makes sense to occur on that store.
Yeah, that one's a really nice theme build. Then we also have Battleborn Off-Road, who's like a Vegas-based off-road truck outfitter. And they had used Shopify Collective to add, to ingest catalog. Because when you're an aftermarket auto parts dropshipper, the number of items you could add to your Shopify store seems limitless. And Shopify Collective is a feature now where you could just say, hey, just automatically add these whatever's new from approved vendors. I think they hit 500,000 products.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And like, just try dealing with a spreadsheet that big. Try managing that in the Shopify admin.
Like, you couldn't open the spreadsheets. You were having problems.
Yes. Yeah. And so I ended up, you know, you got to get really clever at that point. But I was able to clean it up. I'm a Matrixify jockey. At this point, I feel like I could do anything in a Shopify catalog between Python API scripts, Matrixify, and, you know, just getting really creative with a lot of these things to try and, you know, make it work. Yeah, that one should be launched soon. I'm proud of that. That's a good look, you know, especially like knowing the amount of effort that had to go in cleaning up the catalog, and then you got to make the collections. Ugh. But got that. And there's another one. Oh, the super guys, Perrin.com. They're going to move to Shopify. There's a, you know, if you like vaped in the 2000s and wore a DC hat, you probably are familiar with Perrin because I know you owned a Subaru or a Ford Focus, one of the two.
Oh, yeah. it has like a aftermarket spoiler on it?
Yes. Yes. The short answer. Yeah, no, the cool projects coming out. Plus this app I'm so proud of, Promo Party. I would love to see some beta testers from that.
So what you're saying is next year we're moving to Aruba?
No, you'll never get me out of the Midwest. I'm safe, my low cost of living area.
Yeah, near the largest, one of the largest sources of fresh water in the world.
Yeah, and my, you know, fairly moderate weather. Like, yeah, it's gray in the winter and I get very depressed and sad about it. But that's like 60 days. I just got to power through for 60 days. Let's wrap it up there. Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, and it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, you'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today. Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.